Assessing the damage from the latest credit downgrades in Europe.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. U.S. markets are closed today for the holiday, and that's probably a good thing because right after Wall Street closed on Friday, the ratings agency Standard & Poor's dropped another bombshell. The firm downgraded the credit ratings of 9 European countries. France and Austria lost their prized AAA credit ratings. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is live with us from London for the latest. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, this is being seen as a bigger deal, I guess, than your run-of-the-mill downgrade, in part because France lost its AAA rating. And I have to ask why that's such a big deal, because it happened here in the U.S. and didn't seem to cause much of a problem.
The U.S. is different, Jeremy, because of the dollar. I mean, it still is seen as a safe haven in turbulent times. Enough people are still prepared to lend to the U.S., and that keeps U.S. borrowing costs down. You can't say the same about the euro. Some even question whether it'll survive. So those mass eurozone downgrades are certainly more damaging than the U.S. downgrade.
And what about this other piece of euro news that we got on Friday that some people said was actually a bigger deal than the downgrades, and that is a collapse of the debt talks in Greece?
Yeah, potentially. This is more serious. I mean, these are talks aimed at easing Greece's debt burden by writing a lot of it off in an orderly fashion. The banks and others that lent money to Greece are involved in these negotiations, but they were asked to take a bigger hit than they expected, and they stormed out on Friday. Now, Martina Stevis of Dow Jones and the Wall Street Journal says this doesn't mean the talks are over.
Obviously, as any negotiation reaching its final stretch, the negotiating parties will bring in all the techniques and all the tactics. Walking out and banging the door behind you is quite a common tactic.
Those debt talks resume on Wednesday, but Martina says there's a big danger here. Greece has got to borrow a lot of money on March the 20th. It's got a lot of talks to get through before then. It could run out of time. It could suffer an accidental default.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Jeremy.
Now to Abu Dhabi, where the UN Secretary General said today he wants the world to double its share of renewable energy by the year 2030. World leaders are gathered in Abu Dhabi for the World Energy Future Summit. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Eve Tro reports.
So a summit on renewable energy in a desert kingdom funded by oil? Well, it's not a total stretch, says Shail Khan. He's director of solar at GTM Research.
You would want to be having a conversation about the future of energy smack dab in the center of the energy world.
That energy world, in total, is mostly fossil fuels. You won't see any deals inked in Abu Dhabi to change that. But United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon wants to help the poorest nations avoid using more coal and oil.
The goal of leapfrogging fossil fuels and going straight to renewables is admirable, and I hope that we're going to get there.
Severin Borenstein heads the Energy Institute at Berkeley's Haas School of Business.
But rolling out the current technology is really much more expensive still in most locations than burning fossil fuels.
He says the developing nations' main goals are to grow their economies and reduce poverty. And as long as fossil fuel is cheaper, they'll use it. I'm Eve Tro from Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly lower in overseas trading this morning, down about 1% in Hong Kong. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow dropped 48 points to close at 12,422.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
Tomorrow, we'll find out how fast the Chinese economy is growing. Economists are expecting to see a little bit of a slowdown, but we're still talking about an annual rate of about 8.5%. Now, our economy is in the 1-3% range. Now, as China's economy has boomed, Chinese people have been buying a lot more stuff, from houses to iPhones to cars. And cars in developing countries like China and India are the subject of our quiz with quizmaster Stefan Richter of theglobalist.com. Good morning, Stefan.
Good morning, Jeremy. Ready for today's quiz?
I am ready.
All right. As you said, thousands of new drivers in China and India are all getting behind the wheel every day with their new car. If the entire world had the same rate of car ownership as we have in the United States, how many cars would be on the world's roads?
Hmm.
Would it be 1.7 billion cars, 4 billion cars, 5.5 billion cars, or just a tad under 7 billion cars?
All right, I'm going to go with B, 4 billion cars. I don't really think that we could more than quadruple the number of cars if everyone was driving like we do in the U.S.
That would be true and is true if only we'd be like West Europeans. Mm. The West Europeans have roughly 580 cars per 1,000 people. But of course, we Americans outdo them, so you have to up your guess a little bit, I would think.
All right, then I'll go with answer C, 5.5 billion cars, although that seems like a huge number considering what, there are only 7 billion people in the world right now.
Exactly. And that, of course, is what mathematically would be forecast if we all did like Americans.
Wow.
That's an impossibility. Even as we stand after the Durban summit with all the pollution that we still have to get rid of. But remember this, the only good news is that the IEA, the Paris-based International Energy Agency, assumes we'll have 1.7 billion cars on the road by 2035. Other industry forecasts are more 4 billion, but of course you wouldn't expect any other forecasts from the Fords and other companies of this world.
How many cars do you have, Stefan?
We have one. We're a very enlightened
uh-huh.
family. I mostly use the subway and the bike, and we just use the car for things where we really can't schlep it on our backs or walk it.
Stefan Richter, clearly a good environmentalist and editor-in-chief of theglobalist.com. Thanks as always.
Thank you.
And finally, to a new mobile phone app for dating aliens. The intergalactic dating app will send radio frequencies from your phone into outer space so you can communicate with other life forms and maybe find a mate. The first version, though, which is still in development, isn't quite universal. It'll only be accessible to aliens up to 1 light year or 6 trillion miles from Earth. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.